Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to our Friday Fellowship of Learners. Blog Talk Radio, Words from Your Word. And I am your host, Overseer Paulette. Coming to you out of the God You May Not Know from Pastor David Jeremiah. Let's listen to some worship, and then we'll start our study today. Glad you're here. Hallelujah. Glory.
Battle you've won. I am who you say I am.
Hallelujah. We know who we are. And do we know whose we are? Do we know him in the power of his resurrection? That's a powerful place to know the Lord God of glory, in the power to raise the dead, in the power to bring life where life no longer existed. The apostle was listening to an excerpt from a word that was being given, and the woman continually made reference to zombies. We live in a generation of zombies. Everything is zombie. In all of the TV shows, the cartoons, the movies, the everything refers to this whole cultural population of zombies. And they were, she described them as the dead, no, the living, pretending to be dead, living as though they were dead. And when she kept using the analogy and saying it as, classifying it as zombies, it started painting a picture, you know, that picture, ponder, and pray. And I started to see how true what she said was. Zombies. People that are just dead. They're not alive. They don't have life abundantly. And they're just faking it, they say, till you make it. They're not even faking it. Some don't even have the energy and the knowledge to know what the fake should look like, nor do they have the ability to do that. But rather, what they're doing, they are walking the walking dead. They are zombies. And he who's in heaven, as we know him in the power of his resurrection, we will understand and visualize, picture the fact that we were zombies once. And now he has resurrected us. And there's going to be a great resurrection. But in this resurrection that we're experiencing now, he took the dead things in our lives and he made them, he gave them life. He gave them a new life. And so do we know him in that power, the power of salvation? And then as one of the sisters said, then there's the power of his lordship. There is the power of his kingship. And these are aspects that have a very profound effect on how we navigate through our Christian walk, how our attitudes and our understanding and mindset flow. And so do we know him? So often we seek to know ourselves, and yet not only don't we know ourselves, and we can't because we don't know more fully our Creator. And so we are looking at the God you may not know, an aspect of him that you may not have considered as a foundational element in your thinking, in your attitude, and in your actions. And so this God you may not know, this aspect of God you may not know, we looked at the worship of him and how this worship is birthed through a more enlightened knowledge of who he is. And so Jeremiah 9 and 23 and 24 led us into this revelation of who God is that we worship and why of our worship. And the fact that knowing him and worshiping him is the source of our pride. It is the source of our purpose. It is the source of our power. And it is the source of our peace. Our pride is in him, not in ourselves or the things that we do. That frees us from being prisoners to the world standard, because our pride is in him. But we have to know the him of in whom our pride is, knowing him in the power of his resurrection and in the power of his creation. As he created all things, we want to hold on one. Amen. Amen. And so as we navigate through the God you may not know, we then went to knowing a holy God, knowing a holy God from Revelation 15 and 4. And I encourage you, review in your study guide just the outline for each one of these elements that we look at, that we look in. And when we experience the holiness of God, we'll see ourselves as we really are. We can understand the cross. And we do know at the cross our sins are forgiven, that they went upon Christ. And to understand the holiness of God, go beyond a curse of knowledge of that and go into the depth of his holiness, his absolute perfection, his without a spot, his apart from man. The holiness that brings no dark blemish, no change, no, I was going to say sinfulness, but no knowledge of sin even, just that perfected Christ, and to cultivate a habit of holiness and to be like him. And then knowing this God will bring forth a worship like we've never known before. And our lives with him are to take us higher and higher and higher, knowing the faithful God. Because God's faithfulness, we have confidence. When we pray, because of God's faithfulness, we can conquer evil and temptation. And we're not wavering, but we're on solid ground. We're on the rock. We're on some knowledge that we have received and been enlightened with that give us an understanding of our hope. So we're not troubled by the things that are around us. And because of God's faithfulness, we have courage. We have courage to not be afraid. Wonderful study in the word afraid and the word of fear. The fact that he is an eternal God. He existed before time began. He existed in the past, the present, and the future, all at the same time. He exists outside of time. We were going through our lesson on time. We got to the place where I was trying to think of a word that it said we needed God to do with time. We need him to redeem the time, to redeem the time. He created time, and he controls time. So when we're in situations where it seems as though time is out, we have the ability to ask our Father, our God, our eternal God, our all-knowing God, our holy God, our faithful God, our powerful God, to redeem the time, to redeem the time. And so these are all things that give us our hearts a peace about wherever we are, whatever situations are going on. And we're not troubled by those things that trouble life and is a part, is a difficult part of living, because it produces situations and circumstances that cause us to that would cause us to be frustrated or afraid, but because of the nature of God that we're learning and the fact that we're His, then we realize we rise above that. This is that water walking time. This is that time that we go out into the deep, knowing the powerful, powerful God. That powerful God. He can do everything. Nothing is too hard. He never gets tired. Just reminding ourselves of these, reading the scriptures, Revelation 19 and 6, reading the scriptures and the holy, the sacred script that teaches us, or really not teaches us, but tells us, because it is the word of God to us, he's revealing an aspect of himself that should give us this comfort and this understanding of the power that we truly possess because we belong to him. And then our conversation has to change. It has to change because we realize how good God is, that he does this for us, that we're in this kind of relationship and have the commitment of this kind of individual. And today we're looking at the fact that that God is all-knowing. So we're coming to a place where we have to we have to allow our minds to be released, from the limit that our upbringing has put, our culture has put, our society has put, the world has put, even education has put limits in our thinking and in our minds and caused us to be in a box that we were not created to dwell in. We have to get out of that box. And understanding this element of who God is will empower us to step out of this box. This box we will step out of because we're stepping out, walking with all-knowing God. So I also want to turn to Psalms 139. We're going to look at that. We're going to read it. We're going to pull out the treasures that are in this 139th Psalm.
Do you want it in any version? Or don't matter?
Fine.
Okay, I got it in the King James.
Okay, we're going to read the first four, and then we're going to stop. Okay? All right.
All right. The first four says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understand my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. But there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether.
Does somebody have another version? The 139th Psalm.
I can read it in the message or the voice or the...
Okay, the message will be...
Okay. In the message, it says... Okay. It said, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. That might have been a little more because it don't break it down.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. And so when we look at this scripture, it really is showing us God's knowledge of who we are and the fact that he loves us. We know already. But when you look at what the author is sharing about this true relationship, here you have someone who knows everything there is to know about you. And if you just let that kind of marinate, the book shares the fact that most people don't have in life somebody who knows everything there is about them, someone that they feel comfortable in telling whatever it is that's going on in their life, in their mind, in their thinking, in their heart. And so as a result, when we realize we have this in God, then it becomes our element of power for our life. Because he is all-knowing. And when it goes into details of what all he knows, you know, there's a song that says, you know, he knows my uprising and my downsetting. I mean, he knows when I'm coming, he knows when I'm going, he knows where I'm going, he knows what I'm going to say. And when you just get to just that, these four verses, and you put yourself in them, he knows all of your activities, all of the routines of your life, and all of your thoughts. Sometimes we don't even know all of our thoughts. He knows us, and that's just not just a no. I know your name, your number, your address, your this and that. This is a knowing that goes to your very core of your existence, before, during, and after. So it's not restricted by time, nor space, and wherever you and whenever you existed, he was there. And he was aware of your existence at every stage of your existence, every stage of your development, every stage of, you know, your journey, but even more than that, your journey through time, your journey from eternity to now, and then beyond. He knows every direction you're going to take. He knows every habit. And so often we think we do things to, hide from people's eyesight or not really considering what we do. He's right there. But more than being right there, he knew we were going to do it. He's aware. Nothing catches him by surprise. I love it when the author shares the fact that he knows every possible scenario of any and every I eliminated it. I'm not sure if everybody heard that.
But anyway. And one of the things that we have to take a look at, and not so much take a look at, but open it up, ask for the enlightenment, you know, open our eyes to it, open more than our eyes, open our understanding to it, open our minds to understand what all God knows, first about us. And everything that we do and everywhere we go and everything that's going to happen, everything, he knows it all. We've heard that he knows the number of hair on your head and all of that. And sometimes when I'm combing my hair and it's just falling out, okay. But I need to remember he knew that this was going to fall. And now he could tell me, you don't have to count the hair. He knows exactly how many is left, but not just on my head, but on everybody's head. And so it's just on every person, every animal. He knows every little wiggly thing on every little wiggly thing. He knows it all of that knowledge, too great for us, is in his head. It is in him as he has created it. One of the things I think we need to kind of look at science now and look at computers and things like that. They're trying to make them like God, you know, where they can take all the possible information in the universe and put it in these machines, and the machines come up with scenarios, and they come up with what do they call them, like projections, and you know, this will happen, or this will probably happen, or this might happen, or this won't happen. And they give all these predictions, and they give all this electronic insight to people who are seeking to control, are seeking to create, and they're seeking to do what God has already done. And so they couldn't do it. We couldn't do it with our finite minds. And so they created the computer. And I remember when it was first created, it was ginormous. They had to go in these big rooms, and they had all of these restrictions and requirements. It had to be a certain temperature, it had to be off the floor, it had all these wires going from here to the moon and back. I mean, it was a gigantic thing, and then it was clumpy. You know, it was palooka, palooka, palooka. It didn't have that speed that they have now. So now they keep improving it or updating it because they want to get more and more like God, who knows it all. But the interesting thing is man's limit he is not looking at because he thinks he's limited, limitless. And we are in Christ. But those that are trying to recreate systems and institutes to judge and to rule how we live our lives and to influence us how we live our lives, what to want, what to buy, what to not like, what to like, what to seek after, what to value, what to not value. They're trying to get that information based on data that's been put into the machine. But the interesting thing is, the data had to come from God because he created all things. And then man has to put the data in. So that puts another limit on the ability even of the supernova computers or whatever to do the things the way God would do, to do it in a way that you should trust your life and eternity to it. And so we want to always look at man's attempt to be like God. It started in the garden, and it has never stopped. It has never stopped. They keep trying. They put this telescope somewhere. I forgot which planet, you know, and how big this scope was, and it cost how many trillions of dollars. And sometimes I wonder, where did they get all this money from? They just make it. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But they sent this
I want to call it right, microscope, I guess it's my periscope, binocular, like, whatever. And they
telescope.
Put it to a telescope. Thank you. Thank you. They put it to a, on some planet, and they say now they see another galaxy beyond whatever this planet was, and they said it was billions of years old. And I thought, it's like, how you know it's billions of years old? You know, you look at something and say, oh, that's 10 years old. No, you look at a galaxy and you think it decide to say it's billions of years old based on something a machine tells you that you put the information in there. So it's
right.
Just like when we think about it, it's almost laughable. It's almost laughable because we are still, you know, my family, I love them so very, very much. Oh, they got jokes this morning. But at any rate, so when we see that, when we hear that, when we hear the news, you know, when all of these different technical issues, there's something else that's new in tech world. I can't remember right now what it was, but I mean, they're all trying to emulate actually the power they believe God has, and they don't even fully know, but they just kind of want to know. Okay, they want to be the number one. They want to be the all-knowing, and they can never be. They can never ever be. And so I just think that as we hear these things, as we become exposed to them in our lives, because they are influencing our lives, we want the divine influence to override them. We don't want to see them and then become so mesmerized by what they're doing. You know, it's almost as though, you know, oh, no, it's 9 years old. We don't want to be mesmerized by what they're doing. We want to be as in awe of what God has already done, what he has already done, and what is going to happen that he already knows. He knows, he is omniscient. He knows all. And so we look at the fact that because he does know all, this omniscient element of God, how does that benefit us? But how does that affect us? You know, how does that influence? That element of God be what influences us when we pray? So if we know omniscience, or when we pray, just as Christ told the disciples to our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. His will sees the past, the present, and the future. His will is unchangeable. His will is all-powerful. All of the evidence that we are reminding ourselves of the character and the attributes and the personality of God, we're reminding ourselves of these things so that we understand what his will looks like. And then we won't be at such a quarry. I don't know what God wants me to do. But him being an omniscient God, you do know an all-changing God, a loving God, a forgiving God, and all of the attributes and character traits of God, then you know they're for you. They are to bring you to an expected end. So you seek them. You see them as being the most powerful and the only option, really, that you choose to take. It is a choice. You have to choose the option of the will of God. One of our studies in the past, Absolute Surrender, and the author, Andrew Murray, stated his prayer is he wills that God make him willing. So we can't even go from 0 to 60. We got to go from 0 to 2, give it to God, and then him take it to 60, and beyond, because he's limited. And so in our prayer life, that causes us to have a confidence. The scripture says, you know that he hears you because you understand his covenant. You understand the character and the personality that he has and the love that he has for us and his plans for us. So you know he hears you. Now you should know if he hears you. No, because he hears you, okay, he will bring it to pass because he's all-powerful. He don't just have the power. He has the authority. And what he says has created worlds without end. And so those are the things that we have a confidence about when we pray. And so one of the things that the author brings up, and we've thought about it ourselves, well, since he knows everything, why bother to pray? But it's all about relationship. And so just as you're the person that knows everything about you, you want to have dialogue with them. You want to have fellowship with them. They're the kind of, they're the place that you go when you want to be you, when you can tell how you hurt and what you think, your dumb stuff, and not be judged, not be rejected, but to always be accepted and fully pleasing and forgiven in Christ. And so that's a good place to be. That's an environment of love that brings forth a healing and a help in our life situations, in our life hurts. It shared once that, in I think it's in this book, the fact that the sins and things that we do, not only do they hound us, they haunt us as well. And so they, you know, sins are so easily beset us. You know, it's like, why do I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do, and then I know to do, I don't do. And it's like, it is hounding us. It is haunting us. I love the illustration they give from the Psalm of David, you know, and the fact of how he prayed. I think it's in the 51st Psalms, is what that prayer of forgiveness that opens up our thinking and our mindset, opens up our heart's cry to God, and God hears. And then when we know he hears, that's a confidence that we have because we're coming to know more fully his characteristics, his personality, his will, because of the relationship that we have. So we do, we come to him in prayer with that confidence, and it's not in prayer of, one of the studies is saying that says, I telling him what we do. He knows what we do, and so he doesn't need to be reminded. I think that reminder has to come when we're meditating on his word, meditating in a time of intimacy with him, that we remind ourselves, examine ourselves of what we have done and put that before him so that he will give us what's in harmony with his word and what is not. And it's at those times that then that meditation becomes the prayer, what we're learning in the Wednesday class. And so to understand the all-knowing God helps us in our prayer life, establish us and projects us into a prayer life that's effective and fervent. That's where that comes from, because it is got 100% confidence in the character, personality, and the elements of God that we have come to know. So that when we do pray, we don't have to waver, because we believe. And sometimes we believe what we've heard, but we don't believe what we've heard. We believe what we read, but we don't really believe enough to stand on it and allow it to reshape. I think the word last night was to radically, tear it up, okay, change it, a radical change. Like, oh, I, that's not
in the direction I will go, because now I know. Because I know. The word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not that we didn't know, no, but we didn't have the maturity of our knowledge, nor did we have an understanding and wisdom of how to apply it to our thinking and to our living. And so his omniscience also is a, wow, and I believe that everybody can testify to this and should have a comment, is one of the questions in the end of this lesson. But his omniscience in our suffering, his all-knowing aspect when we are suffering. What a challenge to understand he knows our pain. What I won't say a joy, but a comfort to know, you know, sometimes you hurt so you can you don't have words to express it. And when people come, you can't even pray it. It's just at a place that it leaves you without words, and yet he fully understands and knows. He knows every moment, every instant, every inkling of pain and suffering and its source and its conclusion. He knows it all. He knows and he loves us. The Bible confirms God's all-knowing nature in quite a few scriptures. But we also want to realize that in this scripture in Psalms 139, he also shares the fact that every word we speak, every word we're going to speak, he knows what it's going to be. And then the power of this knowing is to add it to the other things that we are acknowledging about him, and to know, knowing all of that from the beginning, he knew all of it. He still yet loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for every possible scenario that could come. The what if, well, what if I do this and that, and then I didn't do that? It doesn't matter. Every scenario, he knew the outcome. He is able to, project. He doesn't have to project because he just knows it. He knows what it is. He is not surprised by it. He is not troubled by it. He is not changed by it. He knows it all. He does not have to you got to readjust, or you got to make adjustments, or, you know, re-situate a thing so that it makes it, because things change. Something changed in the plan, and he doesn't have to do that. He knows all the stars by name. You ever seen a starlit night, in, especially in the far north that you go, the sky explodes in stars. He knows every name. Every name. He knows everything from eternity past to eternity future. His knowledge is perfect. It doesn't lack anything. There's no X factor in his formula. All his formulas are solved. All of his formulas have answers. And if you ever took trigonometry or any of those kinds of math, you can have page after page after page of formulas trying to find the missing piece. From the first formula, he has the missing piece. There are no missing pieces. He knows the condition of every bird, every ant, and that bug that keeps coming in my room that we're trying to kill. Okay, he knows. And sometimes, you know, when I think about that, it's like, well, he knows whether or not I'm going to get him today. You know, he knows whether or not that bug is going to be on me while I'm asleep. Okay, so the way I can sleep, and I know this seems foolish, but the best way for me to sleep was to know he knows. He knows what that bug is. He knows
that, you know, it would really upset me terribly if it ended up in my nose or my ear. And so I have to trust him, his all-knowingness, to cover me. And then I thought, even if it does, he knows about that. And he said he'll make a way of escape. Or he's saying he'll make it work to my good. So I had to do all of that, and I mean literally, so that I could go to sleep. You know, but he said, when you think on me, that, you know, when you realize that this omniscient God is, he is near me, and not just near me, he's near me because he loves me. He has covenanted himself to be with me, and he can, will, and does take care of everything concerning me. And so that gives us this comfort in prayer, this comfort in suffering. We'll look at the other two, the fellowship with him and the comfort it gives us as it relates to our sin. Not that we're comfortable in it, but we are not going to be taunted, haunted, nor tortured with guilt because of our sin, because he has that covered as well. Okay, so we're having one to do. We're going to open it up now for your questions, comments, your insight. What did he give you while you were reading, while you were looking at this? What did he remind you of? What situations or circumstances? Your phones are open. You can talk to me if you want to. I said you can talk to me if you want to. I said you can talk to me.
Yes. Oh, somebody talk.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought someone else was talking.
Mm-mm, you're good.
Okay. I just want to say, wow, it's so powerful. I always, Psalms have always been my favorite verse, I mean, first favorite of the Bible. But as you were speaking on Psalms 139, he's so omnipresent. He sees all. He knows all. He really make us aware that he is in control of all things. And when we move out of the way and allow him to be God in our lives, he changed the atmosphere in every situation and circumstances. When you were speaking on the bug, it brought to mind and real my how I was so afraid of mouse and
mm-hmm.
how where we used to live was near a banquet place, and you know, so every now and then you would get, and I would just leave and go to a hotel until one day I think my apostle said, we're not helping you go to a hotel anymore. You're going to deal with it. And mm-hmm. since I've been away and out of that atmosphere, but God had to show me, even will it be a spider or an ant or a bug or this or that, I got you. I'm aware of every situation in your life.
Yep.
And I'm, like you were saying, he's going to take care of you. You know, it's not going to
yep.
kill you. You're not going to die from it. You know, that fear, that torment us so. You know, but God knows that fear about us, and he wants us to get past that, to be able to know that he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, and that he sees all, and he even know the outcome before it happens, you know. And we walk, well, I'm going to just say I was walking in so much fear and that guilt, that shame and condemnation, even in life. And when you get by yourself and with him and he talks and you start seeing, wow, why did I walk in so much fear and so much doubt and so much unbelief and letting guilt and shame and condemnation just put you in a, where you freeze up and you can't move on to where God wants you to be. And you're saying, my thing, I think what God started showing me, you don't want to die and everything he brought you here on earth to do and be, and you leave with not doing what he wanted to bring forth because of fear or because of anxiety or whatever it is. And I just thank God for this God that you may not know, that we're getting, I'm getting to know him in a more excellent way. I think even the other day I mentioned that Search for Significant book, and all the books we've done from words from the word from beginning to end is has been growing in grace of God and getting to know him in a way we never knew him before. And it's been powerful, you know. And sometimes it's a process, but we don't allow that process to happen because we're too much, well, I'm too much into myself. I'm not talking about we, meaning I. And when God starts working on you from head to toe and teaching you, and he probably, no, he was doing it already, but I wasn't listening. And now it's just that closer walk with him is such a, you don't want to leave that place again. You don't want to ever not be where he wants you to be, because in him is fullness of joy. So I just thank God for every book we've learned from, and I keep finding them as I'm unpacking, and you'd be like, wow, I need to read this one again, you know. So, to God be the glory, you know?
Amen.
Overseer?
Yes.
Overseer? Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Were studying this morning, all of it, it's like my sister before me. I'm not sure who that was, but the voice sounds familiar. Down through the years, we have many teaching moments, and I am grateful for as he taught me and walked me through my life, early life. I've had family members who were seriously ill, and the doctors just say, well, you know, this is wrong, that is wrong, and that they can't make it through that. Well, I had a grandmother who had 8 strokes, and then she was a miracle. You know, she was a miracle, and she was a devout believer, and her faith kept her. She had arthritis that was so rheumatoid. It was so bad that she had to start being in a wheelchair, and yet the doctors was telling her one thing, she'll never walk, or, you know, she can't do this, she needs to stop doing that. She kept driving. She kept going to service, preaching and teaching. And some moments when the spirit hit her, she danced down the aisle. So I look at this and the power and the knowing God that these doctors, all their education and all that they tell you this is going to happen, or now at this point, at some point, they just don't know what's going on with our bodies. But I have learned down through the years through surgeries that it's not them, it's God. And I have learned to trust him. I do not fear anymore. He knows my body. He knows what needs to be done, and he talks to me. And I have comfort, and it's amazing. I just love it. Because I've been through some serious surgeries, serious illness, but I don't fear. I don't fear. I know the one that knows me, and I get involved with it. I get so wrapped up in what he says and his promises are just awesome. So I know he knows all about us, and he knows what can help us and what can't help us. He knows, as the overseer said, he knows the end product. He's the author and finisher of our faith. He knows, and he knows what we go through is to make us stronger and to get closer to him. I just had to mention that because the suffering part, I don't look at it as suffering anymore. I look at it as teaching moments to embrace him, to get involved with him every moment. If there's a pain, I know he feels it too. You know, and it makes me get up and keep going. I used to wonder why do I keep doing this? I work with broken bones and everything. I said, but I had the confidence that God was going to help me make it through. And I'm here 75 years later, and I'm all right. I feel good. I feel good regardless of what's going on. I feel good. I know he knows the end story. And I just look forward to whatever moment, teaching moment, praying that he would help me to recognize that's exactly what it is. Janice, this is what you need to do to get closer to me. And I love it. I just love it. And I love him. And I love my family. Mm-hmm. And I love how we were brought to know Christ. There's so many kids out there now that don't have the nurturing to know the Bible and to know the God, which is they say they're lost. They're not lost. We just have to reach out to them. They're lost in a way that they don't know now, but they will know. God's willing, with our prayers and our support, there are many kids can be saved. And this is what my thoughts for the day.
Amen. Thank you so much. Awesome. Phenomenal. Anybody else? One of the things when Evangelist was speaking, as it relates to pain and to know it's the time to get close to you, I realized my last bout, continuing bout even. But the point is that I have to look at it as an opportunity that he is allowing me to have to learn about him, because it's not about me. And I have to understand that the changelessness of God doesn't view time. So sometimes when we're ill or in pain, time is going by, and we feel like we're missing it because we're not necessarily able to do the normal things that we would do, But again, he knows about that. And if it is, as you say, what he needs us to do, he will give us the strength and the pain to do it. And then we learn another level of him, the power of his strength in pain. And so all of these things give us a confidence that stands on a rock, unmovable, intimidated by the enemy. Not that we're not affected, but it won't prosper over our love for him and our our love for him and the power of our life because of it. We're not zombies anymore. We're not. We are alive. And we have life abundantly, which means we have so much it should overflow on those zombies around us and bring them a light that could lead them to life. And that's what we are encouraged to do. And sometimes if we're not troubled and if we're not in trials in certain situations, we are more focused on ourselves and the way we want to do ministry and the way we want to serve God. And we're not as intent in seeking out his will. Or we're seeking his will. But even the more fervent, as with Christ, when he went to the garden, while he was on earth, he did his Father's will. He prayed, he talked to his Father, he did his Father's will. But when it was time to do that one thing, the fervency of his prayer took three attempts. He went back, and he went back, but he always was seeking the will of God. But I also believe that in that going back, he received the strength and the confidence of God. He was reminded of his time with the Father. He was reminded of the glory they had. And he was reminded of the timelessness of his Father and the fact that this is not even a drip in the ocean, this time here of me on earth, but it is a powerful move. And so I just love the way God is opening up our minds and our understanding It was like Job, and we're going to get to that, buddy. No matter what he did, you know, he thought he was okay. But there was an even greater place for him to go and be. But he didn't get it until he suffered. And that's when he said, oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, and God said, let me tell you who I am. So it wasn't that God didn't know. I got to leave Job alone. But anyway, so this is where we are. And this is what he is showing us. And the time of suffering is coming to the household of faith. The Bible says that. So it's not that we are not to be caught off guard, but we are to be equipped with the power of what he is releasing in our lives so that when these things come upon us, it's not a surprise.
Yes.
We've been told.
Yes.
We've been equipped. We've been prepared. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Yes.
We are rejoicing over the victory because we're also been victorious. So, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of activity.
Hallelujah.
Yes, yes, yes. So we will go to the rest of this chapter of the All-Knowing God next week, do the last two items, and go to the questions. So be prepared to dialogue and have conversation. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
So, Amen.
Have a better day.
Amen.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.